أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب الأعمال إلى الله أدومها وإن قل وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected brothers and elders, it's mentioned in Arabic الأمر فوق الأدب, that a command given by a person of seniority like ulama, mashayikh, etc., their command holds more weight than a person's adab. A person wants to show adab and show his humbleness and incapability, but it's a command of our Shaykh, Dawud Barakatuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant him sihat, afiyat, and grant him a long life, inshallah, that we should sit here and see some words, inshallah. Yesterday we just reached Amla, we met Hazrat by the entrance. So I asked Hazrat, how's your tabiat, how's your health? So Hazrat said, make a lot of dua. At the moment I'm finding difficulty in gaining sleep. And immediately my thoughts went to Mala Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Ali of the Tabligh Jamaat. And then on one occasion he could not sleep and he was pacing up and down. And then his wife asked him, that what's wrong with you, why don't you come and sleep? He said, if you only know what I'm going through, then two of us will be still remaining awake. So that's gham of our Shaykh, of the Ummah at large, the situation, and unfortunately we have Murids like us who give taklif to our Shaykh, and this also caused them not to get any sleep. Allah forgive us. So nevertheless, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will seek help from Tabib A'la, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he made dua, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ, that when I am sick, then Allah is the one who grant me shifa. Yes, this is Darul Azbab, we'll use the services of doctors, professionals, etc. But shifa comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are Mubarak days, and I make a passionate plea also. Many of our relatives, friends have gone for Hajj, and these are Mubarak days that are coming up. So we should, those of us we are keeping contact with, ask them, request them to make special dua for Hazrat, especially on the day of Arafah where dua are readily accepted, that take on a little bit time and make special dua for our Hazrat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him shifa. Doctors will give their opinions, different doctors will give their opinions, but we should make turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tabib A'la, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a real doctor. Allah is the one who will grant shifa, Allah is the one who will grant complete recovery, inshallah. It is mentioned that one Sardaji, he was out of work, so now he decided to open his own practice, fly-by-night doctors. So he put a notice on the board over there outside, that my fee is 500, in our terms, rands. And if you don't get shifa, and if you don't get cured, then you get 1,000 rand refund. So imagine now how many customers will come. Nothing happens. If something happens, 500 rand. If nothing happens, you get 1,000 rand back. So one Englishman went, he said, I'll get this guy. So he told Dr. Sardaji that my taste buds have gone, I can't taste anything. So he said, no problem. So he tells the nurse, go to cupboard number 55, bring bottle number 10. So she goes, she brings that, and he said, take a sip of it. And he just took a sip and he had to spew it out. He said, this tastes like petrol. He said, congratulations, your taste buds have got come back, give me my 500 rand. So not to be out down the second time, he goes back again. And he tells Sardaji, last time my taste buds gone, came back, but now my memory is gone. I can't seem to remember anything. He said, no problem. Then he tells the nurse again, they go back to cupboard number 55 and bring bottle number 6. So he said, isn't this the benzene and petrol again? Oh, congratulations, your memory is back. Bring the 500 rand. So on the third occasion, now he said, no, this guy got me. So he tells Sardaji for the third time, you know, my taste buds came back, my memory came back, but now I'm suffering from temporary blindness. So Sardaji said, unfortunately I don't have anything remedy for this, but since we need the agreement that you pay me 500 rand if it is the cure, and I'll give you 1,000 rand back, it is no cure, so there's your 1,000 rand. So he takes it and he goes happily. Then when he counts it, he sees only 500. Then he comes back to Sarbaja and he becomes angry. He told me the condition was 1,000 rand, but you only gave me 500. He said, well, congratulations, your eyesight came back. Now you can even see the notes. So nevertheless, these doctors will give their own opinions, etc. But we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, these are the Mubarak days on the days of Dhul-Hijjah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the qasam of the day wal-fajr, the day of dawn. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but the qasam of the 10 Mubarak nights. The Mufassirin mention wal-fajr here specifically refers to the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day of Qurbani. This is a very, very Mubarak day. Separately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam wal-fajr. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, takes the qasam of the 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah. And here also, in the Rajab Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi, he has mentioned a great discourse on whether the last ten nights of Ramadan is more of fazilat, of virtue, or the 10 days and 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah. So they went to great length, etc. And they said, alhamdulillah, the 10 nights of Ramadan, with regards to rewards of Amal, those are increased. But with regards to time, this is very, very meritorious and very great and auspicious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come back to that inshaAllah. وَلَيَالٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. Allah takes a qasam again on the even and the odd. Here again the ulama explained, even refers to the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah being the day of Eid as well. And walwat, the odd, refers to the day of Arafah. So nevertheless, these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, ulama have expounded greatly on these 10 days. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah ta'ala does not love to be worshipped on any other days than how he loves that he be worshipped on these 10 Mubarak days of Dhul-Hijjah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith that on these Mubarak days a person should try and increase in the third kalima, the dhikr of the third kalima. So all the time a person should have a tasbih with him, and instead of talking, instead of wasting time, take out our kalima, read the kalima, third kalima. In that third kalima we are reading subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, such a beautiful kalima. And then we add to it, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim, such a powerful kalima as well, the treasures from the treasures of Jannah. So what Mubarak and what meanings Hazrat has taught us with regards to subhanallah, that oh Allah Ta'ala, you are pure. Whether we say it, we don't say it, Allah Ta'ala is still faq, Allah Ta'ala is still pure. So jaza'u ifaqa, Allah Ta'ala says, you are saying, and I am faq, I am pure, but I also inshallah make you pure of gunas, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Directly, indirectly, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, jaza'u ifaqa, and you are praising me, I'll also praise you amongst the makhluk and creation. Allahu Akbar. We are saying Allah Ta'ala is the greatest. And whether we say it or don't say it, Allah Ta'ala is the greatest. So Allah Ta'ala says, I will show your greatness also amongst the creation. So all this the person should ponder, and not like Hazrat said, like how in Maktab we recited the third kalima all in chorus and by hearting it. But just now when a person comes in this line of suluk, then that feeling of subhanallah will come out from the inner recesses of the heart. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. This will come out from the heart, not only from the tongue. This will come out with the true essence, with that meaning in mind. So a person should try and increase our third kalima, etc. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will mention that during the night a person making ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mayasa just mentioned one point, that to having fikr and concern for deen is better than making qiyam during the night. So imagine we are enjoying our sleep, alhamdulillah. We are enjoying our sleep and making ibadah of Allah, and Hazrat is awake, he can't get that sleep. So that the tafakkur, that fikr of insanity he's got, that is that keeping him awake. So imagine he's staying awake, but he's got the night, whole night of ibadah, alhamdulillah. So nevertheless, this Mubarak night that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, every night spending ibadah of Allah is equivalent to spending Laylatul Qadr, ibadah Laylatul Qadr. So in the month of Ramadan, we understand that amongst the 5 odd nights, the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, and the 29th night, that amongst those 5 nights, Laylatul Qadr would be 1 night. So we have yakin, inshallah, one night will be Laylatul Qadr. Any person, Allah is great, Allah is merciful, Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoor, Rahim. Allah will reward us for every night of that ibadah during the odd nights. But during these nights of the first 10 nights of the Hijjah, every night spending ibadah of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is equivalent to spending ibadah on Laylatul Qadr. And what is Laylatul Qadr? Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfiha. That spending ibadah on Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 nights of worship. Subhanallah. So Mubarak to those people who spend the nights in ibadah and who stay away from gunas. This is something very, very important. These Mubarak days, on one hand, we are being good. We should not take out the noor of this ibadah by engaging in gunas. One point just came to my mind now. On one occasion, that Abdul Ghani Pulpoli rahmatullahi was giving Dars of Bukhari, and he came to a specific dua. What is that dua? Allah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make this dua, Allahumma qsil khatayana bima'i thalji wal barad. But oh Allah, wash away our gunas through ice and through snow. So Abdul Hayy, Shaykh Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullahi, Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullahi was present over there. And then he asked, Hazrat, why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used these two words, that ice and snow? So there's no explanation given in any commentary of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one dua is a person makes, lift up his hand and make dua. And one dua is from the heart. Muhammad Ghani Pulpuri after he immediately lowered his gaze. And he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the explanation. Then he explained to Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullahi that when a person commits gunas, then what happens? Then this brings about heat in a person. We're not saying every person that's suffering from some heat is making some gunas, but all, and also it is mentioned that Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi used to tell the people that those people suffering from illicit relationships, that physically they are suffering from heat as well. So to cool down this heat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the effect of the coolness of ice. Another effect of guna is that this causes blackness of the heart. It is mentioned in the hadith, when a person commits a guna, nuqdatun sawda, a black spot appears in the heart. And when a person continues to commit gunas, كَلَّا بَلْرَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَاكَلْ, then his heart is engulfed, totally absorbed and covered in the blackness. So now through the effects of the whiteness of snow, we are asking Allah remove the darkness of that sin, inshallah. So it is very, very important to stay away from gunas. كِتْنَا تَعْرِكْ هَيْ كُنِهْغَارْ كَعَالَمْ, how dark is the alam and the world of the gunahgars. Or anwar se ma'mur hai aashiq ka alam. And that person had the ishq, those people who are worshipping Allah and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they well, the alam is full of nur. So it is very, very important together with our ibadat is to stay away from gunas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. So every night spent in this, on these Mubarak nights is equivalent to Laylatul Qadr. And then we come to the days, fasting during these days, the first 9 days, the 10 days, the day of Eid, we cannot fast. So on this 9 days, a person who fasts, every fast is equivalent to 1 year's fasting. Subhanallah. Then, respected brothers, we'll come to the day of Arafah, and what to be, say, what dua to make on Arafah, what zikr to make on Arafah, and also the Ayyam al-Tashriq that is coming. First we'll mention of the day of Arafah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that no other day besides the day of Badr, on no other day except the day of Badr, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that shaitan is more humiliated, more rejected, more debased than on a day of the day of Arafah. Why? On that day when he sees, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala takes a qasam and turns to the malaika and boasts to the malaika, umma malaika, all these people have come here with their hair disheveled. All these people have come with their hair disheveled and their clothes very, very dusty in ihram. And you bear witness, O my malaika, that even the sins are equivalent to the sand of the earth, or the raindrops that descend from the heavens, or the waves of the ocean. You bear witness, O my malaika, forgiven them all. Not only them, but on whose behalf they sought forgiveness, they also forgiven. So that is why also one of the sunnah du'as a person should make during these days, Allahumma ghfir lil hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj. Oh Allah, forgive the haji and forgive on whose behalf the haji seeks forgiveness. So we also include it in day, inshallah. So the day of Arafah, so what a great day. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned on Fazail Hajj, where he draws a picture of the love of Allah and the picture of death with regards to the day of Hajj. He reminds us and says the day of Arafat should remind us on the day of Qiyamah, where everyone will be coming. And how in Arafah, every person behind the Imam, behind the Muallim, calling out Labbayk, saying Ameen to the Duas. Similarly, on the day of Qiyamah, every Ummah will be coming behind their respective Nabi, and will be congregating on the day of Mahshar. So the day of Mahshar, like how in Arafah, everyone will be gathered under the sun. So this will remind us on the day of Qiyamah. And also, when a person comes on Arafah, and he puts his begging bowls before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at those moments, du'as are accepted. And Allah's mercy in this year, alhamdulillah, we are on par with the Hujjaj. Day of Arafah is also our day of Arafah. Day of Eid is also our day of Eid, subhanAllah. So we also should make du'a, those moments of accepting the du'a. We should make du'a, oh Allah, those on Arafah. Oh Allah, accept the Hajj. And oh Allah, accept all the du'as. So these are the Mubarak days, so the day of Arafah. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah also has mentioned that the day of Arafah should remind us of our covenant. We are, our Shaykh Dal Barkat explained in Ashar yesterday, that if this covenant was taken from every person, we as believers and mu'mineen and ashiks of Allah and the Ummat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ask ourselves to what extent we have fulfilled this covenant. Alastu bi rabbikum qalu bala. And is Allah not your Lord and your Rabb? All of us in unanimous upon this decision. Bala, why not? So we ask ourselves to what extent we have worshipped Allah and the different meanings of Rabb, of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to ask ourselves to what extent we have fulfilled this covenant. So on the day of Arafah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the person who fasts on the day of Arafah, on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that I have found hope and yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins of the previous year and the coming year. Subhanallah. Just for fasting on this one day, Allah is prepared to forgive 2 years of gunas. And also, respected brothers, one friend, Mawlana Muhammad Abbas Umar Sahib, the son of Mawlana Harun Abbas, has written a very beautiful article with regards to the day of Arafah. And in there he has mentioned that has a quotation was Anas radiallahu anhu. He said that the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, is equivalent to 10,000 days of virtue. Subhanallah. 10,000 days of virtue, one day, that is the day of Arafah. So we ought to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make tawbah, make istighfar, pass on that day, during the night, make ibadat of Allah, tahajjud, and also not forgetting our shaykh, including in our du'as as well. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that halat and these conditions, inshallah. And on the day of Arafah, respect of Arabic, the zikr a person should make is the repetition of the fat kalima. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahu mulk wa lahu alhamdu bi yadihi alkhair wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. The 8 days we should try and recite abundance of the fat kalima. But specifically on the day of Arafah, the fat kalima. So just like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free and emancipate thousands and millions of souls from the fire of hell, nothing can stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to emancipate our souls as well. So the day of Arafah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Then we come to the Iyam al-Tashriq, respective brothers. From the ninth, the Fajr of the ninth of Dhul-Hijjah, till the Asr of the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, a period of 23 Salah. After every Farah Salah, a person should say the Takbirat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah wa Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. So a person should try and read Takbirat. And also ponder, on one occasion when Hazrat came to the opening of our masjid about 10 years ago, and after the program I started to ask Hazrat that what kitabs should I study for bayanat, etc. So Hazrat said, read Hazrat kitabs, marfuzat, etc. And also pay particular attention to An-Nasiha, the quarterly journal of our madrasa, which comes every year, 4 times a year. And there are very, very beautiful articles written by different mashayikh, different ulama, and very inspiring as well. So one of the articles, before a few days I saw, that if a person should ponder of the iyam and takbirat al-tashriq, where a person mentions Allahu Akbar, daily a person should ponder how many times the word Allahu Akbar is mentioned. Then it is mentioned in that article, that in azan alone, 30 times Allahu Akbar is mentioned. In iqamat, again another 30 times. Then we come to our salah, our faras salah, our sunnat muakkada, our witr salah, in all the different postures from takbir tahrima till before salam, all the different postures, approximately 90 times Allahu Akbar is mentioned. So 90 times. Then we are exhorted to read the tasbih fatimi. 33 times subhanallah, 33 times alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. And at night also we ought to recite tasbih fatimi. So that will amount to 200 times. So how many times daily the word Allahu Akbar is taken? So what to say during this Mubarak days, where every haji, every pebble will be saying Allahu Akbar. Every musalli after every farasala will be saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill the greatness of Allah in our heart. And this will be inshallah a remedy for us from staying away from gunas. So this, what, as I mentioned, so many times in azan, so many times in iqamat, and so many times Allah Akbar is mentioned in our postures in salam. And then we come to the iyam al-tashriq. Every person, every musalli will be saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then after every haji, for every pebble that he's throwing, he's taking the name Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. So imagine the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the malfuzat of Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullahi, he's mentioned that on an occasion a post-mortem was taken of a certain Hindu person. And then in his heart they found an image of his deity, of his idol, whatever he is worshipping. Then one Abdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullahi commented and he said, imagine this person was on kufr, on shirk, and he was thinking so much of his deity that the picture, that image of his deity came on his heart. So imagine we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Ya ayyul muddathir, kum fa'andir, wa rabbaka fa'kabbir. The elevator, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in these days, how much the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be taken? And it is in this masjid, on one occasion, Hazrat was explaining the word Allah. And he points to the frame above us, behind us. And he mentioned that every king has a flag. And in that flag, we look at the word al-alif. That is the flag of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if we look at the double lamb, every king should have a crown. But Allah is the king, malikul mulk. Allah is the king of all kings. So the tajdeed over the double lamb is a double crown for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the word who, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Ali mentioned it very, very beautifully, in any other word, if a person takes out the word God, if he takes out the word G, it will be odd. If you take out any other words, whatever translation for the substitution for God or deity, you take out any letter, it will not remain the same. But take the word Allah. If you take out the word Allah, Allahu Nur as-samawati wal-ard, Allah is the light and effulgence of the heavens and the earth. Take out the word Alif, you come to the word Lillah. Lillahi ma fi as-samawati wa ma. Everything belongs to the heavens and the earth. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take out the word Lam, Lahu mulku samawati wal ard. The kingdom belongs, the heavens of the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take out the Lam, take out the letter Lam, Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of us, inshaAllah.